I'm gonna go through some verses. We go back and forth, really, trying to get the point of what that particular verse is teaching. This will be the 33rd part out of 59, and the fourth part in Romans 11. So we got Israel up to the casting away in Acts 28, and Paul, after that, Paul tells us that he's sent to all the Gentiles, not just the Greeks in the synagogues who could provoke Israel to copy their belief. Copy Paul's and his entourage, those that believed the gospel of Christ. Of course, he had some circumcision workers that helped too, but the one they believed, you know, like the Greeks in the synagogue, before they heard the gospel that Paul preached. I mean, before the Greeks heard the gospel that Paul preached. So the prophecy, there's a reason why Israel was not the focus of Paul's teaching or preaching after the end of Acts. The prophecy had already been fulfilled of the Greeks, Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue provoking Israel to copy, to jealousy, so that they would emulate what Paul was preaching, what Paul was living. That prophecy had already been fulfilled from Deuteronomy 32:21. Israel had been cast away by the end of Acts. So Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So it's not just Gentiles heard and then have it qualified in the same verse that he's talking about Gentiles that would be provoked by provoked to jealousy by the gospel that Paul was preaching, by salvation coming to the Jews, to the Gentiles, pardon me, to the Gentiles. Jews had a form of salvation that they were waiting for Christ to return to blot out their sins, and they would be saved in the future. Had to endure to the end then to get it. We have it. It's the gift of God. Romans 11, verses 15 and 16. For if the casting away of them, Israel, be the, or Israelites, I guess you would say, since it's plural, casting away of them be the reconciling of the word, the world. Now here, Paul's talking about the casting away again. And he's not saying that they are not cast away here, like in verse 2. In Romans 11, 2, he says they are not cast away. And in Acts 20, when he wrote Romans, they hadn't been cast away. But we're talking about Acts 28 now. He's talking about Israel being cast away. We know that from the verses 1 and 2, Israel hadn't been cast away by the time of his writing in Acts 20. Writing Romans. But here Paul's talking about the casting away that's going to happen yet in the future from Acts 20 when he wrote it. Well, it already happened and it's documented in Acts 28. Paul's talking about the practical working out of the world's reconciliation, which Christ won at the cross, according to Colossians 1:20. Do not hear? Oh, okay. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, that's where the peace was made. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There you got the two realms mentioned again. Things in earth is Israel's realm. They will be ruling the earth with Christ on the throne in the millennium after the 70th week of years, the seven-year tribulation, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, in the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And you can see, as Paul writes these verses, the scriptures and epistles that he wrote before the Acts 18:22 temple vision, where he most probably found out that he was going to be sent to all people, the scripture he wrote before that don't have these reconciling the world. It would be reconciling the believers or reconciling the body. I don't know of a verse that actually says that, but what I'm saying is, before he learned that he was going to be sent in the future to all people, he talks about the whole world being reconciled, even though it's before Israel was cast away. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That reconciliation is to be worked out by preaching the word of reconciliation. And again, in Romans 11, 15 and 16, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. So at that point, he is admitting or reflecting that Israel will be cast away at some point in the future from when he's writing this, but he's not telling when yet. Paul was inspired of God to speak that Isaiah curse, casting away curse, in Acts 28, and it took effect at that time. They were cut off at the end of Acts. Apostate Israel was blinded from that time and became lo am I, meaning not my people. I'm not your God and you're not my people. That's a lack of a bridge. They destroyed the bridge, the way to get to God, through the covenants and obedience to the commandments and to the Lord and receiving the Lord, believing he was the Christ. They wrecked everything. Well, God has an answer. It's not wrecked forever. They're just cast away. They don't have any special privileges. They have to come to God like we do. All right, we can see two things there. First of all, Israel's casting away is the reconciling of the world, no longer just the reconciling of Israel. So when we read in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that was on the cross, and God did reconcile the world unto himself there. And yet, the announcing of it was withheld from us Gentiles, until the timing was right. And at the time that Israel was diminishing, being cast away, that's when he began speaking. He let out these hints here. This is written in Acts 20 also, which is after the Acts 18 temple vision, this 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto himself. So Paul was sent with a wider sending or a second sending, depending on how you want to think of it or call it. I don't know of the scripture naming it that way, second sending, second time, second, or wider sending. It's just another sending, really, because it can't be the same one. The early one said, I am now sending you to the Gentiles, and those were specified as the Gentiles that Paul would have to be delivered from. That's Acts 26, 17, I think? 17 or 19? Yeah, 17. So, when Paul, okay, that was the first sending. It says, I now send you. The second sending, or the other sending, is in Acts 22. It's recounted in Acts 22 that Paul heard it in the temple vision in Acts 18, verse 22. And Christ didn't tell Paul, I now send you. He said, I will send you. So from that later sending, it was further out yet. And we find when it was in Philippians 4:15, it occurred in Acts 20, verse 6, the sending, which was like three verses after he wrote 2 Corinthians. So that's a lot of details there. I don't know, if you re-listen to it and then chart them, you can see the order of the things and how everything fit just perfectly. But Paul was sent the next time, the other time, this time to all Gentiles, not just to Gentiles that were in a position and standing to provoke Israel to jealousy, but all the Gentiles. Paul was sent to even the alien Gentiles, God-cursing Gentiles that weren't in the synagogues blessing Israel. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, not just for Israel. I don't think it ever says that he was a ransom just for Israel. It says he was a ransom for Israel, and it omits saying anything about the Gentiles. And then later, here, after Paul was sent to all people, then you get these that include the Gentiles. God, it says, who gave himself a ransom, could have stopped there, but he goes on to specify, a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So it wasn't necessarily testified at the cross. It occurred at the cross, but nobody knew it until Paul was sent to testify it. And he was sent right here. He says, whereunto, let me go back. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained or ordered a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, that doesn't mean, that's scripture there. It says teacher of the Gentiles doesn't mean he's from the Gentiles teaching other people. It means he's the teacher that teaches the Gentiles. And the same thing in Romans 11:13, I am, let me get that up here on the screen so we can see. I'm not always the quickest at making people see it. Here, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. He's of the Gentiles. It says of the Gentiles. It doesn't say I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. But that's what it means, because just like with the teacher, I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. I teach the Gentiles. He apostles the, where did that verse go? Apostle of the Gentiles. Well, I don't want to get stuck on that. Let's go on. these Gentiles that he's talking about, you can see them in Acts 19 when there was a problem, I guess you could say, in Ephesus, and there were some believers, but then there were some that were talking about how they were going to lose their trade. selling idols, making and selling idols. They were idol makers, and they stirred up the crowd, and they caused a riot. Those people that cursed God, that were against Israel, are the same people that Paul wrote the later epistle to the Ephesians. I mean, you hear about Ephesus there in Acts 19. I'm trying to think. I think 18 and 19. 19 is the one that... Well, anyway. But those people that rioted against Paul are the ones that Paul... They got converted. Those elders that were called down from Ephesus, down to Miletus, and Paul... This was in Acts 20, verse 17 and later, after Paul had received the orders to preach the gospel to all people. They heard him, and apparently, I don't know of any, the Bible doesn't tell of any other way that those people in Ephesus, the Gentiles that were not blessing Israel, how they got into the church and got saved and into the church we're coming to the knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the truth. So, that's the first thing. Second thing we see in there, another foretelling or prophesying, depending on which way you... I don't know that it... Anyway, let's get to it. Another telling of that Israel does have a bright future. Israel does have a bright future, and they still do. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. Daniel 2:44. So Israel does have a bright future. At some point in the future, they will be in power again. They'll be a world leader. They'll be the world leader, with Jesus Christ actually on the throne. Israel will be born again. Look at Romans 11:15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Born again. Life from the dead. That is the phrase that I'm looking for there. Life from the dead. That speaks of resurrection, doesn't it? You know, Israel was born in the wilderness, Exodus 4:22, and in the sea and in the cloud. Let's look at John 3 about born again, verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and," it's talking about born of the Spirit, "born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And we've talked about this before. There's some statements that talk about seeing the kingdom of God, some entering the kingdom of God, and some passages talk about inheriting the kingdom of God. That speaks of ownership, future ownership. So... I broke in between 5 and 6, 5 again, and then 6. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Israel was born in Exodus, in the water and the sea, coming out of Egypt, in the Exodus. And they died. They were cast away, Acts 28. And they will live again. He's saying life from the dead is in the verse there. Resurrection. There will be a future for Israel born again to enter the kingdom of God from coming down from heaven. So they go together. The term born again goes with Israel having died, and they were born in the wilderness. Born before they died, okay. Exodus 4:22 says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh," this is God talking to Moses, Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And then they were cut off, becoming lo am I. At the end of Acts there, they were cast away. It was prophesied in Hosea 1:9. Then God said, call his name lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. And it doesn't say I will not ever be your God, because he is going to be in the future, those same people, that same grouping. In effect, that's what happened in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. But to review just briefly, and then we'll get into the fulfillment. That's not what you call it. The prophecy, I guess. John 3, verses 6 to 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, singular word, thee, Nicodemus, ye, he was a ruler of the Jews, so he's talking about ye Jews must be born again. So, coming down in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 20. And give me just a second here. Let me see where this goes. This reading, it's, to me it's an exciting reading of what's going to happen, literally, in the future. And you hear things about, resurrection, or about the dry bones, or things like that. It's all documented here. It's all in truth, written down here. So Ezekiel 36, starting with 20 and going through, we'll get there when we get there. when they entered unto the heathen, this is the prophecy of Ezekiel, talking about Israel in the past when they got exiled out of Israel into various lands scattered. When they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. So the people in the surrounding countries, in the countries they went to, they knew who these Jews were, and they were ashamed to the Lord. I mean, they were shameful to the Lord because they... Well, let's read on. Verse 21, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen when they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. Verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Sanctified, set apart for a purpose. Verse 24, and I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. See, they're not under grace. They're under works. There's works involved. Do them. Verse 28. And that's not happened yet, but it will. Ezekiel 36:28, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So that reverses the prophecy in Hosea 1:9. It had already been fulfilled, and now the Lord is going to rescue them from that fate. Verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Going, that's the end of 36. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest upon these bones, and say unto them. I missed a verse there. Hold on, let me just get it right. When I copied it, I must have. That's the way I want Ezekiel. I got it in my notes, but I don't have it open yet here. 37. 3 through 5. I've got 3 and 5, but 4, I don't know where it is, where it starts. So, starting with 3 again. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Verse 4. Again he saith unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, let me finish one thing and come back to that. Say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So that was 5, 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will, I think that's like tendons and ligaments, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. And he said unto me, this is another statement here that I'm going to comment on, like verse 4, verse 9, and verse 12, after I get to verse 12. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Say, behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse 12, therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Last one we'll read, Ezekiel 36:14, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place in you, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, how can they, you know, it started out with them blaspheming God among foreign countries, profaning the name of the Lord. And here he's doing so much. There's grace there. But the requirement to be saved did require doing things as well as trusting. And trust was what Israel lacked, the word of faith. So the one thing I did want to go back, verse 4, verse 9, and verse 36 in Ezekiel 37. Let's go back to verse 9 here. I think it's clearer, maybe. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind. So saying to the wind is prophesying. He gave him things to say that were commands rather than foretellings. So the point is, prophecy has more meanings than to foretell, forecast. Prophecy, and that applies when you're trying to understand the body of Christ prophets. And prophecy being one of the functions of the church. It's not foretelling. And it's not acknowledging that there's some new statement, some new word of God to be added to the Bible. No, it's professing what we're commanded. What are we commanded to speak to others? God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're to preach the word, be instant in season and out. So that's where prophecy comes in today, not foretelling. And it's not the same. It doesn't hook us to the Old Testament prophets or anything like that. So, all right. Well, I'm done with what I had planned for tonight.